Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Kevin has convicted everyone and fired people. All right.
I did not say that the commissioner should be fired, should quit, or anything. I am holding judgment on what the commissioner should do. I'm just saying some of the things he says doesn't quite work for me.
Well, Peter King's story, and we'll get to Ted Robinson in a moment, as promised a half hour ago.
Yes. Ted's out there somewhere.
Yes, we'll talk about that. I'll quote Peter King from his Monday Morning Quarterback column. One reason so many owners were steadfast behind Roger Goodell is that many of them spoke to the commissioner after he announced the NFL's new policy on domestic violence 2 weeks ago. Goodell, this owner said, told him he just didn't know exactly what happened in the elevator because he never saw visual evidence of it. Until it's proven to this owner, at least, that Goodell was lying, he said he's not going to lose faith in him. Another prominent club official said he believes strongly that Goodell will survive. If he's telling people privately like that, like, you know, it says, look, I didn't see any visual evidence of it. Okay, maybe he didn't. All right. So the key part with this in terms of his ability to keep the job is that if that's true, that, look, I just didn't see it, and that's how I ruled, all right, then, okay, fine. But if it's shown that he lied, then he does have to lose his job.
It reminds me of Watergate. The question is, what did Roger Goodell know, and when did he know it? It's a simple question.
Right. So... the league is under siege right now. Kevin, I think, has cost virtually everyone their jobs, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Where? So, you know. Here or in the NFL?
Both.
We're starting down the path of a few. Let's get to the Ted Robinson story. This is a sidebar way outside of this. 49ers has suspended their radio broadcaster Ted Robinson for 2 games for remarks he made about Ray Rice and domestic violence this week. While talking about Rice during a segment on KNBR AM Monday, Robinson had this to say about Rice's wife, Janae. How does she marry him after that? How does she go in front of Goodell? That's pathetic to me, Robinson said. The comments were made by radio broadcaster Ted Robinson on Monday were offensive and in no way reflect the views of the 49ers organization. According to Parag Mathi, in a statement, he said, "We have made the decision to suspend him for the next 2 games. I informed Ted of our decision earlier today and will continue to address this matter with him internally. Our organization stands strongly against domestic violence and will not tolerate comments such as these." Robinson was also suspended for 2 games by the Pac-12 network. He's their lead broadcaster on the Pac-12. He says, "I want to unconditionally apologize for my comments the other day," Robinson said in a statement. "As a professional communicator, I am responsible for my words. My choice of words was careless and does not reflect my true feelings about domestic violence. I understand that the cycle of abuse keeps people in unhealthy relationships. No blame or responsibility for domestic violence should ever be placed on the victim." Story goes on to say the 49ers are going to catch some heat about suspending the 57-year-old play-by-play man, in part because Ray McDonald has been playing while he's being investigated for felony domestic violence. Robinson's been the team's play-by-play guy for 2009, signed a 5-year contract extension a year ago. He's their broadcaster through 2018. So now this is in comments made on a radio show separate from the game broadcast, and now he has a 2-game suspension from the Niners and a 2-game suspension from the Pac-12 network for comments that he made.
Steve, I think Ted Robinson asked a legitimate question that would be on the minds of quite a few people, in that how does she then, after this happened, go ahead and marry the guy? I'm not saying that's something that you do lightly or in jest or anything like that, but I think Many people have wondered that question. What is it that happened that she would then, after this incident, go ahead and marry him? If you're raising the question...
Right, but it's the I think it's the last part that had them upset.
The last sentence. Quote,
that, yeah.
That's pathetic to me. I think that's probably the part. Raising the question, but it's something that you have, Bob, as a prosecutor, for years and years and years, how many times did you see a case where you know it happened and yet she ended up staying with the guy?
Time and time again, and it's always, it just would sadden me immensely that would be the case, and to this day in many instances still puzzles me, in that question, why do you return? And there is no easy answer. There are so many answers. One would be love, one would be economic security, another would be children. There are many, many reasons why this happens in domestic violence, and but it is a question many people would wonder about the Ray Rice incident. I think I know the answer. Been there with comforting victims of domestic violence, and it's understandable, but it is a question. But I think there's a little bit of a the comment about it being pathetic. Maybe that was just an off the cuff reaction to it, but I'm not sure
that,
it warrants.
Bob, in this business, the way everything is trended in this business, you are a word or a sentence away from going from host to listener.
Yeah, you're so true.
Even though we're on for hours at a time, I mean, this show airs, 504 hours of of this show a year, 504 hours a year that we do. And, we talk about fun things, exciting things, we analyze things. But then when we get to these kind of issues, you do have to make sure that you are careful in your approach. As a prosecutor, you had to be careful in your approach at times.
Closing arguments were always a challenge, not to step over the line and risk a mistrial. There's no question.
Right.
And as someone once said, you're only as good as the last sentence you uttered.
Right. And Kevin's the only one that can get away with it on this show because we've portrayed him as the fan.
He is the fan.
We'll see if that continues.
It's Kevin. He says, they had to have seen it. They had to have.
No.
Steve,
no.
You've got that raised voice down really nicely, by the way.
Shackle-lemmy.
Get that soprano out there.
David Sunbury has been waiting for 2 hours. Hi, Dave.
Yes, I actually have.
What's
Bob,
on your
you
mind?
Can answer a quick question, then I'll make a comment. That particular deal with the running back of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
The senators from New Jersey have now told the prosecutor to go back and indict and bring that before the grand jury. Now, what's that all about?
Well, it's just simply politicians sticking their nose in where they shouldn't to make headlines and make themselves look like heroes, leading the masses with pitchforks and torches. That's all that is.
We're all headed for Salem, huh?
I think in a sense, Dave, that when the politicians start doing this stuff to prosecutors, it's not a good situation, frankly. Prosecutor used his discretion to do what he make the decision he did. He knew he had a victim who was not going to testify against her now husband, mm-hmm. and had to salvage a really bad situation as best he could. At least that's the way it appears to me. And now, of course, everybody with hindsight is all over this thing, and it's a shame. Could different prosecutors have come to a different outcome earlier? Sure.
Possible.
But did the prosecutor talk with, or the police, the victim? Did she want to press charges? What was the quality of the evidence they had in terms of the tapes? What were the comments from the security officers at the casino who came upon the scene? Lots of things go into a decision whether or not to prosecute, or in this case, to offer an alternative program.
Yeah, well, I'll be honest, Bob and Steve. I was a little upset by one thing, believe it or not. Was when he went there for his first interview in front of the cameras and all his teammates behind him. He apologized to the Baltimore Ravens, to the fans, but there's one person he forgot to apologize to. It took him three interviews to finally get to his wife.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's actually that's actually factually correct. Yeah, and it's something we talked about on the show that I was sat back and said, well, he apologized to everybody in the public except her.
And that's the one thing. And then them to go give him a 2-game suspension, and then they come back and make this now it's a 6, or they could pull him forever. They're doing the cart before the horse, it seems like, at every step, waiting to see what people's reactions are. And then that's how we're going to determine what the policy is going to be.
Right.
I think that's right.
To be
right.
Honest. And I know Terry Vakula, at least in passing, talking to the man, and he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's going to be a part of this circus.
Well, he's not allowed to because he doesn't own the team yet. He's only bought them, and it still needs league approvals.
He won't be any part of this three-ring circus that's going on. Where are they going to put the tent?
Right.
But you can, Steve, you can do me one tremendous favor. Next time
send you money?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if you want to, go ahead. No, but the next time you see James Franklin, tell him
that will be in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Well,
shortly.
There's a gentleman in Sunbury. If he ever needs a babysitter, I volunteer.
I'll pass that along.
No, that made the impression of that guy at the Damon's last Thursday night. I thought that was cool. That gentleman that offered to babysit.
That's her. That was Herb Graves.
Okay,
all right,
well, I didn't know
so I know who it is. Herb's one of the nicest individuals on the face
but
of the earth.
I just thought maybe him and his wife want to get out for it, you know.
I don't know if Herb and Nancy really want to do this, but that's fine. Hey, thanks so much, Dave. Appreciate it. All right. 800-795-9565, 800-795-9565.
Steve, let me give you a local twist on the Ray Rice career. It had an absolute local impact. Many years ago, the one of the most sought-after high school recruits for college football was a fellow by the name of Jamar Brittingham out of Neshaminy High School. And Jamar signed and committed to go to Rutgers University to be a running back. And he went to prep school where Rutgers wanted him to go. And in that interim period, there was a coaching change. And the new coach at the time who came into Rutgers decided he no longer wanted Jamar Brittingham. He wanted this fellow by the name of Ray Rice. So they withdrew their scholarship offer to Jamar Brittingham while he was in prep school. And Ray Rice signed on with Rutgers. And Jamar Brittingham came up to the campus of Bloomsburg University to visit his best friend, who was the fullback on the Neshaminy team, which won a state championship the previous year. And happened to meet a guy by the name of Danny Hale, the coach of the Huskies, who immediately knew who it was, and Jamar Brittingham was immediately committed to Bloomsburg University, where he went on to lead the nation in rushing for two out of his four starting years, set all kinds of records until they were just broken by Franklin Kwiatkoe. And Ray Rice, just as a side, had an incredible impact on the Bloomsburg University football program without even knowing it.
Right. Well, this, if you're going to define a sports mess, this is a sports mess. Again, I was, without seeing the inside of the elevator situation, I was vehemently against what the commissioner originally ruled 2 games. I said that we should not be allowed to play a game before November 1st. Now, seeing the inside of the elevator, you'd have to suspend him indefinitely. But only seeing just him dragging her out, I said that, look, he shouldn't play in September, nor should he be allowed to participate in any game or have any role during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which is so important for the NFL to raise awareness of an important issue and raise money in that direction. And so I absolutely and vehemently disagree with the commissioner's original ruling. That said, if he never saw the videotape or had no knowledge that the tape was in the building at any point, he should not lose his job. You know, we can't always ask for our pound of flesh.
Steve, on the other hand, Ray Rice has not been convicted of one crime, of anything. He is a presumed innocent fellow, and yet he's been adjudicated guilty in the court of public opinion, in the court of the NFL. He has not been given 1 ounce of due process in that regard, and he's received universal condemnation.
Bob, while true, he's guilty. Okay, because we saw it. He decked her.
Okay,
but didn't he plead guilty and then end up taking a
voluntary going into a program? I don't think so. I don't.
Okay.
At least under Pennsylvania,
he avoided trial with it though.
Under Pennsylvania law, and I think it's analogous to New Jersey. When you get admitted into what we call ARD, Accelerated Rehabilitation Disposition, you do not make an on-the-record admission of any wrongdoing. And in the event you fail to complete the program and end up going to a trial, let's say, you are still presumed innocent, and nothing you say at that hearing can be used against you as an admission. So he never admitted to anything.
In the eyes of the law, you're absolutely correct. In reality, he hit her.
And it is he pleaded not guilty.
Yeah, and Ray Lewis was involved in a murder, and he's a Baltimore Raven.
But again,
and he had blood on his clothes, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think he was even suspended, and yet a lot of people felt he was guilty. And now apparently the Baltimore Ravens have actually put a statue in front of their stadium to Ray Lewis.
Here's the difference, Bob.
All right.
Here's the difference in no uncertain terms. We heard about Ray Lewis. There are loose pieces about Ray Lewis. Why did the president go before the country last night and talk about ISIS? Because instead of hearing about beheadings of American journalists by ISIS, we actually saw beheadings by journalists by ISIS, okay? And with Ray Rice, the difference is whether he's presumed innocent, whether he pled guilty, not guilty, regardless, we all saw he took his fist and he whacked her right across the face.
No question.
Okay?
I give that for certain.
Right. Yeah, guilty, not guilty, presumed innocent, okay? There is a bottom line. The reality is Ray Rice in an elevator hit her, and there's no guesswork as a, well, mate. No, we all saw it. He hit her.
Yeah.
And she falls back and hits her head. So it's not being guilty in the court of a public opinion. He did it.
Well, that's true, but without knowing the entire context, seeing a flash of something, we don't know.
Bob, context here doesn't matter in this regard. A man should not strike a woman.
I'm with you on obviously on that.
Bob Buehner would never. No. Okay, a man should never strike a woman. Now the legalities and how it plays out legally, different story. A man in the National Football League struck a woman instead of walking away. It doesn't matter what she did or didn't do to him. Okay? It doesn't matter. Unless she had a, quote, weapon in her hand, came at him with a knife, came at him with a gun, where all of a sudden now he's physically in peril. Okay? Where now I have to defend myself. But that wasn't the case. He struck her. I don't care if she spit on him. I don't care if she yelled at him. I don't care if she punched him. Okay? Walk away. A woman should never be struck.
There's no question about that, without any question. But I just worry about the process that we are so gung-ho to convict without any kind of what I call due process.
Here's what I do know, and I want to, because I wanted to clarify that,
sure,
what we were talking about earlier. He was indicted on aggravated assault charge,
right,
in late March.
Mm-hmm.
Then pleaded in May not guilty to assault and accepted into a diversionary program,
right,
that lets him clear the record of the charges.
Right.
So that's
right.
So he actually pleads not guilty to the one,
right,
count of third-degree aggravated assault,
right,
and then went into the intervention program for first-time offenders.
And that's the process that Bob is explaining,
yeah,
played,
right,
out.
Right.
Okay. He pled not guilty, but he did accept going into this program.
But
I mean, in a completely different realm. Okay, remember years ago, Vice President Spiro Agnew, who then had to resign his office, pled no contest, right, to charges in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
That's mumbo jumbo for like a guilty.
Okay? Well, no, it is you know, treated as the equivalent, yeah, of a guilty,
right,
plea by the
right,
court.
Exactly.
System. Yep.
Right, and it, you know, and so he pleads not, you know, whether in the corp legal versus. Okay, legal versus your job, okay? You can be let go from your job.
Sure.
All right? If, for example, you know, an incident happens and you're charged with something or you're under investigation, well, your job can still get rid of you. They don't need to have cause other than the fact that we don't want you with the company anymore.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is an at-will state.
Yes,
so.
It is. But there is a player's contract here that's nobody's talked about. And Kevin and I were just talking off the air. We don't know what Ray Rice is going to do vis-a-vis the Players Association, what position the Players Association is going to take on all of this.
Bob?
Yeah.
Bob? Okay. If you're the Players Association watching this play out, I don't think you want to step up and,
yeah,
defend him.
But here's the problem with that, Steve. Under the labor management law, the union has an absolute duty under law to defend all of their members, even ones that look and appear in every instance to be terribly wrong or guilty. That is part of the collective bargaining agreement arrangement recognized by federal law. Been involved in a couple cases in that area, so they have an absolute duty to represent. And like a public defender has the same duty to represent someone who's charged with a crime.
Except there are moral clauses in the contracts of NFL players.
Absolutely, yes, but they still have a duty to defend him on even the moral charges. We'll see. I mean, we're going to see what happens.
No, I understand what you're saying, but I think that's going to be the fallback.
Oh, I think that's where they use to really uphold the decision to sever,
right,
the relationship. There's no question in my mind. That's the,
right,
catch-all clause, and that's why they put it in these agreements.
Right. I think in the end, I agree with you that see, but see how tricky it's going to be for the Players Association?
Oh. Yes.
We have a duty to do this, and everybody's like, I just saw the tape. And
no.
You're defending him?
Just like a public defender defends a person who looks and appears to be guilty, they have a duty to do it.
And that's something I want to talk about next. That role is performed by those attorneys.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory area Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us on this Thursday. Bob, I want to talk. You mentioned public defenders before.
Sure.
And people talk about, attorneys defending. When someone goes to court, they are entitled to have a defense presented for them. And the defense attorney, whether it's bought and paid or a public defender, plays a critical role in the process of fairness.
That's right. And remember that in our American system of justice, which is different than lots of places around the world, every one of us as an American citizen is presumed innocent. And we start out, each one of us, Ray Rice included, and many others, with that presumption of innocence. It is the burden of the state, the government, in this case the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, that they must prove the person's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt to either a judge or a unanimous jury of 12 citizens. So public defenders, when asked the question, how can you defend those guilty people? It's very simple. The system works because the public defender does their job to make the state, yes, the government, prove the case. And that's the system I operate in. So, Steve, when I'm making comments, I'm a due process kind of guy because that's the system have worked in and been part of for all of my professional life. And what is missing in the Ray Rice case, although, he's guilty, there's no question, and it's appalling, but there's been this incredible lack of process that we, because we're just running to judgment on this, and I for understandable reasons, and you and I and Kevin, we're all on the same page on the, we find domestic violence to be abhorrent to our society, to our value systems. We believe in the sanctity of human life.
And domestic violence, by the way, is not just physical.
Oh, no.
Domestic violence is verbal, is verbal as well, and incredibly damaging.
And it has an impact on more people than just the initial victim.
Yes.
Children, family members, the community, the neighborhood. And, a just and decent society cannot and should not tolerate it. That simple.
Now here's the next step. Aaron Hernandez has not gone to trial yet.
Nope.
Right. The Patriots terminated his contract.
They sure did.
So again, that falls under the morals clause too, correct? And I never heard the Players Association step on that. Now, he's charged with murder.
Right.
He is in prison.
Right.
There's no bail.
Yeah.
And so forth. So, obviously, but again, he's in the and all indications are is that, for the prosecution, there should be a pathway in this that allows them to get a conviction.
Sure.
Based on everything you hear. But the bottom line is that he hasn't been, quote, convicted of anything yet. He's only been bound over for trial, indicted, or whatever.
Well,
explain the morals clause in that versus of something none of us saw versus something all of us saw.
Well, the difference is that Aaron Hernandez, number one, is not available to play in the NFL.
No. Right, we know that.
So
that's
the
what
first
I said.
Thing.
He's in jail.
He's in jail.
Jail.
He's
correct.
Not going to make many practices. Number two, he did go through the preliminary part of the legal system, which in Pennsylvania is known as a preliminary hearing, where the government has already proven what's known as a prima facie case, which that standard, Steve, and for everyone listening, is this. It shows that there's a reasonable belief that a crime has actually been committed, and that the person who's charged with that crime is more likely than not to have been involved in it or committed it.
Right.
It's not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
We think this is the guy who did it, and here in basics is why.
Yes. And so Hernandez went through that process, and there was enough evidence presented to carry that over for further disposition, meaning trial. So, in that case, the NFL, because the guy can't make practice, he can't be involved, it's easy for the Players Association just to punt, literally, pardon
okay,
the
Okay, so they stay out of it, even though, for example, still being on the payroll would help pay for his defense.
True, and it obviously
no.
Isn't.
I'm just
no,
I'm
no.
Just
you're
asking
right.
Questions,
yeah.
I'm not making commentary
no.
here at all.
No,
I'm
that's
asking
right.
Questions. So I'm talking about because you're saying the Players Association would have to get involved in the Ray Rice case because obviously he can play. We
yeah,
know that.
Yeah, he's right? There's nothing preventing him.
He can play, but at the same time, the contract of Aaron Hernandez terminated as well. Even though he's going through the legal process and is quote considered innocent until proven guilty, correct?
That's true. The other part of that is that the player, Hernandez Rice, must actually request the Players Association, his union, to enforce his rights.
Good point.
And
there
so if, I would hazard a guess that Mr. Hernandez never said, NFL Players Association, come to my defense here. Help me out.
All right.
We don't know what Ray. That's the one thing that's been quiet, Steve, through this process. We don't know what Mr. Rice and his agent and legal team have done with the NFL Players Association. I have a feeling those discussions are probably currently being held or about to be held.
I wonder if every NFL player has something in his contract, in a standard NFL player's contract, that is basically a morals clause that says anything that is done either legal or illegally that would tarnish the image of the NFL or the team that you're going to be playing for can result in immediate termination of the contract.
There probably is a general clause. However, the problem with those clauses is something that we call void for vagueness. There has to be standards, usually done through the grievance process, so that those who are involved in grievance hearings in the NFL have litigated this matter, and there are standards that are known as to what constitutes moral turpitude or violation of morality, etc. And that's how you find out. It's like having case law to guide you on what is and is not an act of moral turpitude that could lead to suspension, revocation, termination of the contract.
Right.
So there we are.
And the other part, too, is they flat out just could have said, we decided to cut them.
Yeah, that's it. Steve, right. Let me just...
Literally, they can literally sit there and say, you know what? We think we have better people. We're going to cut them. Mm-hmm.
And guys, before we head into a different direction,
sure.
I want to quickly mention that we were scheduled to have NBA Hall of Famer Rick Barry on the line with us today. We have not been able to catch up with him. We're going to try and reschedule that for next week. So again, Rick Barry was scheduled to be with us. We haven't been able to catch up with him today. We'll try and reschedule it for next week.
He could be watching the U.S. World Championship Basketball Semifinals, which is going
could
on right
well
now
be.
Between the USA and Lithuania and Barcelona, Spain. He could be doing that. Just a thought. Steve, question.
Well,
go ahead.
Basketball junkie, so
yeah.
I don't doubt it.
Steve, a question for you that came out of the interview with Dan Duggan of NJ.com from the first hour. He mentioned the offensive coordinator of the Rutgers Scarlet Knights being Ralph Friedgen, who was formerly the head coach down at Maryland. And I believe at the same time he was head coach at Maryland, there was a guy named James Franklin who was on that Maryland staff and I thought was deemed to be the potential heir apparent to Ralph Friedgen at Maryland at one point.
He was.
And they're going to be on opposite sidelines, obviously. What? And I think one can know the other after being in endless meetings for several years at least. What impact is that going to have on the game? Because I haven't heard that storyline mentioned.
James Franklin would know what direction Ralph Regan likes to go in terms of play calling. He would know more about that than actually Ralph Regan would know about John Donovan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, it's going to be what Bob Shoop knows above all. And Bob Shoop, I can't begin to tell you how much I like this guy. But Bob Shoop is, first of all, economics degree from Yale. So all of us are going over to Bob for like, what do you think about what do you think about silver right now, Bob?
What's that stock market doing?
But he is a meticulous preparer for a game. Meticulous. I mean, to the point where he even wants media guide information and so forth. And you do as much scouting of personnel as you do scouting of the coordinator. Bob scouts the coordinator, play call patterns, things like that, as to what they historically like to do. And it really, you know, and I like Bob. I mean, I like, and not only that, his players love, I don't just mean like, they love playing for him because he's a positive reinforcement an adjustment guy. Bob in Hanover's with us. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how are you guys?
Doing great, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good. Just one thought here, and I don't have an answer to this, but it's just a thing that I've been thinking about quite a bit, is with all the attention that Ray Rice and his wife has been getting from the public, and suppose this is only incident that he ever was involved in like this, how is that person or his wife ever supposed to be rehabilitated? How do you ever give them a second chance when they've been put through all this? And, you know, I don't know the answer to that. It's a tough thing. I mean, you want to be judgmental in that you don't want to approve of this type of behavior, but isn't there a point where, you know, you give the guy some benefit of the doubt to let him rehab himself? And I think he is trying to do that from what I read.
I'm sure you're right, Bob, but let me put it to you this way. I mean, football isn't the only job in the face of the earth. Ray Rice can go get another job.
No, that's true.
I mean, so just because at the moment the door is not open to him playing in the National Football League, it doesn't mean he couldn't play in the Canadian Football League. It also doesn't mean he couldn't enter into the business world, use his degree from Rutgers, and so forth to get himself another job someplace else, working construction, doing, I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm just randomly throwing jobs out there to you. Playing in the National Football League is not an option at this particular moment. But it doesn't mean that over the next 6 months to a year, Ray Rice can't get a job working for someone else and being paid by someone else in a completely different profession. I think sometimes we get so locked in on he's a football player and now look, he's being denied his livelihood. Well, unfortunately, I mean, over the last, like, since September 2008 when the crash occurred with the banking system here, so many people have lost their jobs and they had to adjust in life, which is tough for them, and they didn't want to do it and had to either find another profession or something else or multiple jobs to try and make ends meet. And they've had to do it without the fanfare of Ray Rice.
Steve,
yeah, I agree.
Steve, let me ask you this. This is a comment Goodell made with Norm O'Donnell in the CBS interview. And he said when they met with Ray and his representatives, it was ambiguous about what actually happened. If he comes out and says, hey, here's what happened, here's what's going on, to me, that's a step toward being able to have redemption. But at this point, according to the way the information reads, he didn't really admit to it when he talked to the NFL.
Right.
That is the first step in redemption, right, and rehabilitation, is to admit you have a problem or admit the incident occurred, accept full responsibility for it, and accept whatever consequences would follow from that. And until and unless that happens, Bob, I think, and you make an excellent point and a great call, unless and until that happens, rehabilitation does not begin.
Right, exactly.
That's,
now
that's
here's the
true.
Now here's
and he's probably and now, prevented from actually doing that because of legal issues right now. He probably can't even if he'd want to. His attorney's probably advising him to hold back, and
then he's got lousy attorneys. Frankly, he does, because if you're going into the commissioner with probably the most important meeting of his life, and he's being asked the kinds of questions that I would suspect Roger Goodell and his staff would ask him, the most important thing there, it's no different than in a courtroom in front of a judge, because Roger Goodell is being the judge at that point, is to have incredible candor and honesty and accept responsibility.
Yeah, and, well, that's true.
And now, and then now, let's take it one step further, Bob. He can't play this year. He's 27 years of age. He is also coming off the worst season of his NFL career, where he only averaged 3.1 yards a carry. Okay, they're going to be number one. Teams are going to say, I really don't want to pick him up because of this incident, and it would look bad for us. Number two, you can also look at your staff and say, you know, we think he's on the downside of his career anyway.
And yeah, I thought about that too. What if he had been coming off his best year of his career? Would they have cut him like this? Or would they have suspended him indefinitely? That, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think they would have, but because the video is that graphic. The difference between the, take Michael Vick and Plexico Burress, they both came back, but they also served time in prison and were actually convicted by a jury of their peers, and I think that opened it up. Here's a case where the result legally has been vague to most people, which Bob has brilliantly explained to everybody, but the result legally has been vague to people, and now we've actually seen the incident. We did not see tape of Michael Vick and dogfighting. We did not see tape of Plexico Burress with a gun. But we did see Ray Rice do this. Thus now, because of the visuals that the public has seen, he is now convicted in public opinion, which public relations-wise is a disaster for a team that would sign him.
Oh, that's 100% correct.
Okay. All right,
yep.
Bob, thanks. Kevin, who... In reality, he does run the show. Says we need a break. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Final seconds. John Barr, ESPN.com, has done a great job on this story, working for Outside the Lines. He said it was told that the video that all of us saw, according to his report, it was shot off a video monitor with a cell phone camera. Also that... Part of the reason they say staffers, we're talking about staffers, I guess she had long hair at the time. I don't know if she still does, but they said it was covering her face and they couldn't really see. They just said she was groggy. All right, talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Steve.
Bob, thanks.
You're welcome, my friend.
Top of the hour news.